Okay, we're on Daflamin today. So I'm going to begin three lines from the top, the two dots. I assume that's where he got up to yesterday. Okay, so three lines from the top, on Laman Amalav, 38, the two dots. Huda Amar, Ilawatina Tlatin Yomin, Lehebekita. So a man gives a get to his wife, and he says, but it's subject to a Tanai. If I'm not back within 30 days, then this is your get. He says, Atu Paskim Iber. He's coming back. But there's a river between him and where home is, and there's a ferry across the river, and he can't get the cross. So Amar Luhu, Chazudatai, Chazudatai. So he screams out, I'm here, you know, don't let the time run. Says Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, he didn't cut it. Right. He didn't make it. Now, there's two ways to darshan out this answer. We'll see, there'll be Nafkaminat Malacha. On the third white line in Rashi, Lashmi Matki is not called somebody who's come. Dlomati ad hacha, he didn't get to the place. Ve'eintan onus betanai gitin lememar anista. There's no taina of onus. In other words, if I make a tanai, I'm not able to fulfill a tanai, even though it's due to circumstances beyond my control. Tough luck. That's the first shita. Inami, or else Rashi says on the fourth white line, yesh onus begitin. There is, the taina of onus is a valid taina, a valid claim. How Kim the Rishmaita come out to the two boat, they own the Shriyahu, divided that new yank. But the Gemara Mesech Subas addresses this case and says, there's onus and onus. This is an onus to Shriyah, a very common onus. Like my example is, you know, you got held up on the Cross Bronx Expressway, there was the unbelievable traffic. It's onus, but it happens often enough that you can sort of anticipate it, you know? So, the fact that the ferry is not there, that's something you had to anticipate. Get there a day earlier or something like that. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So we have Shmuel's answer and two ways to understand Shmuel. Either Tana Nonis is a Taina or it's not a Taina. Let's see back in the Gemara. Huda Amar Lahu, Ilo Payasna La Tlatin Yomin Levegita. So man gives a get to his wife and he says, if I'm not able to mollify her to make her satisfied within 30 days, this will be a get from now. In other words, whatever tainas they had with each other, I'm going to work to smooth over the situation, but here's the get. Azal paisa v'lo yifaisa. So he attempted to mollify her, but it didn't cut it with her. She wasn't happy with whatever he said or did. Amar Rav Yosef, miyayiv la tarkav dinrei v'lo yifaisa. So Rav Yosef says, look, if he would have given her tarkav dinrei is three kavs. Tarkav is trei v'kav, two and a third, three kavim of gold. Of golden denarium, wouldn't she have been mefuyas? That it has a way of influencing people. You have enough money. So he says here, so even though he doesn't have the money, so that's a type of onus, but the tiny onus is not a tiny. That's the first lashon. Ikata Amri, others say, so in other words, he wasn't able to mefuyas her. If he had $30 million, he could have been mefuyas her. So he doesn't have it. Tough luck. He says, Ikata Amri, others say, Amr of Yosef, does he have to give three kav of golden dinarim to her? A paisa, although he did whatever he could, and she wasn't happy with it. So that would be a good taina. So the Gemara explains, Tulashonos, Hakaman Damar Yeshonis Begitten. In other words, the last Tashon is saying there is a tainus onus by Gitten. So I did everything I could to be Mephiser. She wasn't happy with it, but I did whatever I could for my end, so I satisfied the condition. Hot command Amar Eno is beginning, but the first Lashon is saying that even if there is onus, tough luck. And so that's the way that was going. Okay, let me say a few things, then we'll pause. Pais means like to propitiate, to mollify. What? No, but it means which Lashon? In other words, I did everything I could to satisfy you. In other words, I'm not, I don't have to bring you $1 million. I did whatever reasonably, you know, in other words, I made it tonight. If I'm not Mephiyas you, I made all reasonable efforts to be Mephiyas you. Okay, now, let's all focus. The Gemara tells of a man who, upon leaving town, gave a get to his wife and stipulated the get should be valid only if I don't return within 30 days. But if I return on within 30 days, the get is void. On the 30th day, he was about to return home, but there were no boats available to cross the river. We did it a few lines ago, Michael, when you stepped out, just 1 second. He says, on the 30th day, he was about to return home, but there were no boats available to cross the river at the edge of the town. Shmuel ruled the get is valid because he missed the 30-day deadline, and thus the get's condition, i.e. not returning home within 30 days, was satisfied. One reason for this ruling is ain't tanas onus beget. Claim of onus is not a valid excuse with regard to nullifying a get. And Rav Yosef Yitzhakar, the second version, disagrees, and that there is a tiny sonus to get. Okay, fine. Now, if a person accidentally misses the tefillah, he compensates for the missed tefillah by davening the following tefillah twice. So, like, for example, if a person was ill and did not daven Mariv, he davens Shmoneh Esrei two times in the morning, chakras. First tefillah is fulfillment of a chakras obligation. Second is teshlumin for the missed Mariv. The opportunity is afforded only to one who missed tefillah due to onus, unpreventable accident, not to one who deliberately skips the tefillah. So, if I decide I'm just not going to daven, then there's no teshlumin for me. He says the Nemuke Yosef rules that if one was busy and delayed davening until the end of the day and then forgot to daven, was prevented by an accident, he's permitted to compensate and daven the next tefillah twice. So, let's say the time for minhag ends at 6 o'clock. So the whole day he's busy doing other stuff. But then, you know, at the very end of the day, at 5 o'clock, something came up. He wasn't able to daven minhag. So that's the question: does he get him to the tashlumin? So the Muki Yosef says you do get it to the tashlumin. In other words, if your onus at the last part of the day, that's called an onus. So the Aguda. He was doing other stuff, but he wasn't an onus. In other words, he was carefree of this, that, the other, and then there's an onus at the end of the day. The Aguda disagrees and maintains that onus be a machron, not onus. An accident that occurs at the end of the day is not considered an onus. If one delayed his tefillah until the end of the day and then was prevented from davening due to an unforeseen accident, it's considered as though he intentionally missed the tefillah because he's at fault for delaying his tefillah until the end of the day. Now, the Nesivus remarks, There's Nesivus remarks that our Gemara appears to substantiate the position of the Muke Yosef, that you get a bite out of the apple. Gemara indicates that even though the husband did not attempt to cross the river until the very end of the 30-day deadline, here's a 30-day period of time, and then he waits till the end of the last day, and now he can't get across the river. He says his inability to cross at that time is classified as an onus, and is subject to the dispute regarding onus beget. So everybody agrees it's onus. The question is that a taina by get or not? But everybody agrees it's an onus, even though it's at the last period of time, in a certain segment of time, in a time period. According to the Aguda, this case should not be an example of onus beget. The problem, of course, in the river came to bear only because the husband delayed his return to the last moment. If he returned earlier, he no doubt would have been able to cross the river. This malach seems like supporting the Nuke Yosef. In other words, I had the whole day daven and I was just frittering away the time, and then at 5:30, and then 6 o'clock is the deadline, then 5:30 some onus happens. So the Nuke Yosef says, not to worry, I get it through the tashlumin. So this Gemara seems to support that. In defense of the Aguda's position, the Chasam Sofer suggests that a last minute accident is not considered an onus only with regard to the procrastination of a mitzvah. The Aguda is of the opinion that if one delays a mitzvah or davening to the last minute, he is considered a poshea, one who is negligent, rather than an onus. Since the rule, a mitzvah should be performed the earliest possible opportunity. The Aguda will agree, however, that in a case of our Gemara, delaying his homecoming to the last day is not considered negligence, there's no mitzvah involved. So the Aguda wants to say, everybody agrees, you're right, by the get, that is onus. But how does that compare to tefillah? So the Muki Yosef says the same thing. It makes the sush now. Fine. Onus there, onus here. The Aguda says, no, absolutely not. When it comes to tefillah, you have a mitzvah to do it. So the mitzvah, don't delay mitzvah. You should do it. Mitzvah about the Yad called Tachmi Tzena. Do it, it's reason makdim the mitzvah. Do the mitzvah at the earliest possible time. And if you decide to delay it, so that's on you, not on us. Okay. Yeah, I know Rabbi Yisrael. Okay.
Right. He's supposed to. The best time is the propitious time is just before Shkia.
No. He didn't say that's the most propitious time. That's not what the Shulchan said. He was saying that that it's difficult to gather people together for a minyan. So, therefore, to make it easier, we'll do mincha at the end of the day, we'll do mariv at the beginning of the evening, and then we'll do it that way. But that's not what he said. It's the most he said. The Machaber said the best time to have mincha is 9.5 hours of the day.
9.5 hours.
3:30 p.m.
That's beginning not the earliest.
No, but that's the best time.
I understand. But here he's saying should do it at the earliest time, which would be 12:30.
No. In other words, the earliest time you could do the mitzvah is in other words. It doesn't mean it that way. In other words, the earliest time you do the mitzvah, the best way, I would say, the earliest time.
In other words, the earliest time
by mincha is maybe a b'diavad time. So he's not saying you have to do it that way, but if not to certainly 6 o'clock, then not too late. I mean, here there's different, you want to have a minion, but that's the malach with that. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Anything else? Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, now. So we're up to the Mishnah now. Everybody with me on Lamed Amud Aleph in the Mishnah? Manitin. Okay. Hamal b'maod on a kohen v'alevi v'ha'ani v'yomafir shalei mechelkan. Let's say you have a landowner. He's got acres and acres of farmland, and he has a kohen who needs money, or a levi who needs money, or an ani, a poor person needs money. He says, I'll work out a deal with you. Like, I know I have to be mafir's truma, so I'm not ready to be mafir's truma. But there's a loan and not a gift. So I'm loaning you $1,000 and I'll take it off the truma. The truma will belong to me and afterwards. And the same thing with the Maaser Rishon and the same thing with the Maaser Ani. We'll work out a deal like that. So the first episode, and this relates to the earlier Gemaras that we had. So when the time comes, he can be a mafresh. He doesn't have to be concerned. Maybe the Kohen died, or Levi died, or the Ani became a wealthy person. I assume that the way it was is the way it is. May too, but if they do die, and he knows they died, Sirichli told Rishut and the Yorshim, is he has to get Rishut from the Yorshim in order to, apply the Truma, or the Maaser Rishon, or the Maaser Ani. In Hilvan b'fnei Beitin, but if he loaned the money in the presence of the Bezdin, only rishus from the Yorshin. Okay, one second. Okay, let's look at Rashi. Last Rashi, ain't no strictly Torah rishut. The ishkoach lebeitin la tilchov ze al kol hakuna bar labia v'fi shetakam v'shim suma lahava. In other words, he doesn't have to ask rishus from the Yorshin because the Bezdin can say this debt is now a debt on the whole Shevet Kuna, or this debt is now a debt from the whole Shevet Levia, or all the people who are Aniyim. And the reason for that takana is because we want to facilitate people being able to borrow money. So if I'm worried that I don't lend the money, I'm not going to get it back. I don't feel like lending money. But if people know they'll get the money back, then they'll feel more like lending money. So that's what the takana is for, and that's to help everybody. Okay, everybody good? So I think it relates, remember we said about the chazaka, that the person was still alive. We had a lot of chazaka like that before with, the ship sank, and things like that. Or is the person dead or alive? And then we had other things also. So here, the chazaka is that they're alive, they're not dead. Okay, remember, and then you brought a get, and then he was old or he was sick. So you can give a chazaka. Okay, let's see back to the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, so how is it that the lender, the malva, is able to take the truma, whatever it is, even though the coin was never zochet, taking something that's not even his yet? So Amarav, the makire kuna. So Rav says, like they wrote makare kuna, but it's the way I've heard it is makire kuna. But as Rav says, makire kuna means there's a relationship between this family and the family of Kohanim. In other words, in this family, we always give our truma to, the family of Lazer Katz. So everybody knows that. And the way Rashi takes it, where's the Rashi? Look at the Rashi. Mavakire kuna, 10 lines above Rakas Y. Kimo yishmeit makro, shemakro bo abav, deinu ragila te truma no maestro to lakoin ze. He only gives this coin. Hilkach came into milta, the pshitahi, the didu yayim lahu. Since it's like so obvious to everybody, he's giving it to this person. He says, "Askil hushar koni daatayu." Well, come on to the other dani. In other words, well, the other koni give out. It's like, yeah, what do you mean? He's not. That's who he gives it to. So nobody even like thinks of making a claim for it. So they're like misalik. They're any claim they have to that truma. Now, one second. All right, we'll see another pshat shortly. Okay, then back in the Gemara. So I'm a rabbi. Who Shmuel Amar the Mizakel Hamayde Echirin. Shmuel says, no, the Tana Mishnah means, I'll, let's say, invite somebody I know. I'll say, I want you to, you know, lift this up and be mezakeh to this kohen. Now it's his, and now give it to me. Okay, that's the way it goes. Ula Amar, Hamani Rabbi Yossi, Da Amar, Asu Chenu Zoche Kizoche. So Ula says that our Mishnah follows the Shita Tana Rabbi Yossi, who says that in certain situations, we'll come to see, we're on Shabbos, we begin the fourth parak, and there are a lot of things that come up in the fourth parak, the Tikkun Olam, and that continues on into the fifth parak. So if you look quickly, we're not going to do all of them, but if you look on Nuntet, go to the Mishnah on Daf Nuntet, on the base, 1 second. Nuntet on the base, okay, 59b, page 118. So the Mishnah says, Mitzurot Chayva Ofor Pudagim, let's say a person lays a trap for an animal and the trap has no toch to it. So mibnei darkei shalom, there is a din gezel. In other words, on a deraisa level, there is no din gezel. But mibnei darkei shalom, you should leave it alone. Somebody, you know, Reuben lay the trap, Shimon shouldn't come and take the animal. He says, Rabbi Yossi omer, gezel gamur. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if you take it, that's gezel gamur. Because Rabbi Yossi says the Chachamim, they gave as a chus to the person. It was even though one did Torah, he doesn't own it, but they said you do own it. And then it says, yeah, let me give you a Gemara here. Okay. Then it says, this is on line 4 on page 118 on the Nintendo base. Shalom. So means on a Dravana level, if I take, let's say a katan, gets a Metziah, if I take it from him, that's gezel on a Rabbanan level. Mnei darkei shalom. Rabbi Yossi omer gezel gamur. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's an actual gezel. Again, that's what the Chachamim assigned to him. And then ani hamenake perosh hazayit. Let's say you have an ani. Let's say a person, there's a peya, and there's also shecha. So let's say there's an olive tree, and so the owner has to leave like a certain portion for the aniyim. Or if he harvested, he forgot a certain portion. So now it was an ani menake perosh hazayit. He was like knocking the olives off on the top of the olive tree, and then the olives go to the ground. Mashtachav gezel mendarkei shalom. So it fell on the ground. He didn't make a kinyan yet on it, but it's saying that they darkei shalom. You should leave it alone for this ani who was knocking him down. Yeah, in other words, now at this point, it's the Maserani, it's the Peya, whatever it's his. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gamur. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's Gezel Gamur. Anyway, the point is, and there's more cases as well, Rabbi Yossi has a number of situations where the Chamim is signed right to him, even though on a Din Torah, it's not his yet, but it's not like it's his. So that's the third opinion. So see back on the Gemara. Amani Rabbi Yossi, Damar Asu Cheno Zdoche Kazoche. So now the Gemara says, Kul Karab Lo Amri, everybody doesn't agree with Rav's shot about the Makire Kuna, but Kiri lo katani. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about Makiri Kuna. Kishmuel lo ka'amri, everybody doesn't hold like Shmuel, it's a mezakel ma'ideh chayrim, the mezakel lo katani. It also doesn't mention that in the Mishnah. Ku'ula nami lo amri, and they also don't hold like Ula, ki chidah lo mukminim. We don't hold like Shita Siyakim. All right? Now, if you look in the Tosfos, the third Tosfos, this is Rabbi Leibowitz who mentioned today, ki chidah lo mukminan, so the Gemara says, Ula is the one who says like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, why don't they hold like that pshat? Because it's Shitas Yachid. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? But Shmuel himself paskins like the Tana Rabbi Yossi. So he should not reject learning the Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi, since he himself paskins like Rabbi Yossi, even though it's a Shitas Yachid. He says, so even though Shmuel holds that way, but Shmuel would rather learn the Mishnah like the Sheet of the Chachamim. In other words, I want to give a shot in the Mishnah that in other words, Rabbi Yossi is the Sheet of Siyachid. So I, Shmuel, even though I pass it like Rabbi Yossi, I would rather explain the Mishnah in a way that even the Chachamim, who are Mechulik with him, could hold from. So Shmuel explains the Mishnah that he says, that it's so Tosos teaches us that in Bava Metzia on Daf Yud Beis he paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, all right. Now let's see. Let me just talk a little bit more with this. One second. All right. Now, we said about the Makirei Kahuna. So we mentioned, again, so one shot in the Mishnah is it's talking about Makirei Kahuna. This fellow has a relationship with this Kohen. Here is the Rashi takes it that everybody else, all the other Kohenim, they're like, Miyayish on this, because they know he always gives it to them. Now, he quotes here, this is in the Morot Daf Yomi, he quotes here from the Balei Tosfot and Bava Batra. They explain that that the reason you give it to him, because the Gemara Mitzia says, when a person promises his friend a matana, even if it's like of small value, he should keep his word. Since his friend is relying that he's going to receive it, since, in other words, if it's a small gift, it's not a big loss to give the gift. So the friend relies that you said, I'm going to get it. I'm relying that you're going to give it to me. So he says, so therefore, if a Yisrael is ragil, give his trumas to a certain kohen, he's obligated to keep that. Because it's like as if he promised him forever. And that haftacha is considered like a sechus to the makabel. So it's like if you already got it. Okay, that's the pshat of the Balei Tosfot. So either way, though, there's an idea of makirei kahuna. Now, halacha, if a person promises a small thing, so there's a number of halachic applications. Can a moel be tovei his sechus after the death of the father? So he quotes from the Chacham Tzvi, who lived in the 18th century, spoke about this situation. A child, the father died before the bris milah. So the child's born, and then presumably between the birth and the bris, the father died. He says, in the previous brison, so the father would give this chus to a certain moel. He says, but now the members of the family, they chose a different moel. And moel number one tainted that he has this chus even as well, just like the previous time. So in his tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi wrote that the moel doesn't have a taina. He says, the Dinah Makirei Kahuna, it was his argument, he's on Makirei Kahuna. He says, Dinah Makirei Kahuna, he says, that you have to continue doing that. That's the chiv of the father to continue doing that. He says, he's going like the different way the Baal Tosfos. In other words, the way Tosfos says, like the person has to keep his word. So that's something that's unique to the person who was alive. He says, but now that he's not alive anymore, so the Bein Mishpacha don't have to follow and go through. Even so, but he's dead. He's dead. In other words, what? In other words, this chus to the bris is on the father, and the father had used this moel, let's say, for the previous five brisen, and so now, well, he figures it's coming to him. It's like makirei kahuna. But even if you assume it is that way, he's saying like once the person's dead, it doesn't survive. Now, the Maharam Ruttenberg, who lived in the 13th century. He spoke about a shy like this. A person invited a moel to give a bris to his son, and then for different reasons, he invited a different moel. So the two moelim now were tied to this chus to do the mila. Moel Rishon said that since he had appointed him, he can't withdraw it. And the second moel said that the father's entitled to decide whoever he wants. So the Maharam with Machria, he says the father has to keep his word, and to give it to the first moel, the kind of mitzvah. And he says, it's like promising a gift, you know, of small value, you know, to somebody. Just like Yisrael gives, like, the truma feast to a kohen, he has to keep his word. He says it's considered like a small gift. So mainly he has to give it to the, so to also with the bris milah. He says, we don't force the father to do this, but if he doesn't do it, you can call him a rasha. Okay, and so you have it could be in that first case with the father dying, he could have died before the child was born, but you get the idea. Okay, now let's see further in the Gemara. Everybody with me? Okay, one second. So we're five lines above where it gets wide. Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Hamal B'Maor Kohen, B'Levi B'Ani, Yom Afrishalein, Amechalkan, Mafrishalein, Mechazkat Shein Kayamin. So the first halakha is the same halakha we had in the Mishnah, that if Reuven lent money to a Kohen or to a Levi or to an Ani, with the stipulation he's going to recoup his loan with, you know, money that's coming to them, so then he can take it and assume they're still alive. Now the Braisa, the Rav Leibowitz for this, the Braisa is going to mention five halakhot, who posikimahem kishar hazol. The first is, he can stipulate with them that he's going to take a cheaper price. In other words, right now I'm loaning you $1,000. Let's say a bushel of wheat is going now for $5 a bushel. But if at the time when the crop matures, it's going for $1 a bushel, so then I'm going to take as much wheat by the cheaper price. So I'm going to stipulate that that's the way it's going to be. And that's halakha one. The aimbo mishum ribbit. And the second halakha is, there's no ribbit. Let's say, and we'll, I should have mentioned this. So Ralu said that there's a, it's the sugya bab metzia. Let's say, posek, with payroad. Let's say I agree to purchase, some fruits from you, and I say that we're going to do the fruits. The fruits are going to go for, let's say, a price. I'm going to pay you for the fruits right now, and we're going to agree the price of the fruits are going to be X, $5, something like that. Now it could. Now you're going to give me the fruits a month from now. Now it could be at the time you give me the fruits could be, worth much more. So in which case I'll be getting back more than I paid you for. I paid it right. So that's ribbis on a drabbanon level. In other words, that would be, it's not ribbis ketsutza, but that's ribbis on a drabbanon level. Then it's ribbis, but if you have the fruits in your storehouse right now, then even though you're going to give it to me in a month, it's not ribbis, even though you may not give me the same fruits, but you have it. Or if it's yatza hashar, if there's an established price right now for these fruits, and you can readily obtain the fruits for the price that we're saying, so then that's okay. Now, let's see. Now, here he says, ba'im bo mishum ribbit. So it's going to come out, though, let's say, with the crops, we say that the price for the crops, well, if not the price, we're not, in other words, the let's say I stipulate that the price is going to be X, and then now like the price of wheat, so let's say the price of wheat, the price of wheat is worth more now. So that doesn't have a din in ribbis. In other words, that which is normally ribbis is not ribbis here. We'll see in a minute. Ve'in shvit mishamatato, and the debt, with this tavua arrangement is not released by shmita. So I loan you the money, and then the shmita year comes in, and then I get the tavua. It's not affected by shmita. Mimbalak's going to close there, and we don't know who, but the Gemara's going to say that if the Malva decides he wants to pull out of the deal, I don't want this thing, the truma anymore, give me my money, he can't be closed there. If the Malva, he makes yesh that he's ever going to get the money, then that released the debt. We'll see each one, seriatim, as we say. Okay, the second white line. So Amamar Hoseki Mahem Bashar Hazol. So we mentioned the Brisa that the Malva can stipulate that if at the time the crop comes in, there's a cheaper price, I'm going with that cheaper price. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious, you could do that. The Tana is teaching me that that's a stipulation that we would assume. In other words, if there's a cheaper price, that we'll use the price at the time when the crop, matures. That's assumed, unless we stipulate otherwise. Okay, the ain bo mishum ribbit, there's no din of ribbit with this crop, my taima. In other words, even though with the fruits, if I work out a deal with you, and I say I agree to a price, and then that could be ribbis because at the time it costs more now, and there was like I stipulate with you that you're going to give me 100 bushels of wheat, and each one is 100 bushels of truma, and each one's going to be $1 a bushel, and then you have to give me 100 bushels when the price of the bushel is $5 a bushel. So I'm getting back more. That would be ribbis. I'm getting back ribbis. But here, by the truma, we don't say it's ribbis. My taima. Here, with the truma, in other words, if there's no crop that year, let's say there's a wind blast or something like that, right, then the debt is released. So there's no ribbis the other way. In other words, this is a problem. We've had this in Bava Tzila come up. In other words, like if you're sharing the loss and the profit, that takes it away from ribbis. In other words, right. In other words, it's not just going. In other words, ribbis ksusa is I'm definitely getting more. But if I lose my shirt or make money, then that's not ribbis. Now, the ain shvit m'shama kato, it's not released by Shemitah, by the sabbatical year, lo karina be lo yigos. In other words, if the debt is something, lo yigos, the lender shouldn't press the debtor to pay him. If it's something that he could press the lender, then it would be the subject to Shemitah. Here, he said to the stipulation he worked out, it's the crop that I'm going to raise, this will be your money. I'm not going to, there's no lo yigos here, so there's no Shemitah. He says, if he wants to retract, we don't know who, but it's going to be clear the mouth that wants to pull out of this deal, he's stuck. Amara Papa Loshanu El Balabai at the Kohen. So her Papa says, the Bryce is talking about the Balabas, it means the mouth with the Kohen, he can't pull out of the deal. About Kohen Balabai, but if the debtor wants to pull out of the deal, in Balak Sor Choser, he could pull out of the deal, meaning he still owes him the money, but he says, I want my truma, I don't want to have this deal like this anymore. No, because we learned the Mishnah. Let's say you have, you know, a buyer and a seller. If the buyer gave the seller money, but he didn't do mashicha on the payroll. Remember, mashicha is the opinion by the Talmud, and you pull it into your shud. He says, we can pull out of the deal. In other words, either one could pull out of the deal until the mashicha is done. So here we're saying, on one side, from the side of the lender, so he's stuck because he has the tefuah in his rishus to begin with, so there's nothing to talk about with him, and he gave the money to the guy, so it means it's like the kohen is like the seller, so he gets money for his tefuah and he transfers the tefuah to the baal habayit, so that's a done deal. But vis-a-vis the kohen could pull out of the deal because he has nothing. The only thing he's got is the money. The money doesn't do the thing. So he can pull out of the deal if he wants to pull out of the deal. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, let's move on. Now 5 lines to the bottom.
Rabbi, regarding the best time for Mincha, according to Ari, it is the latest Bedimdume Chama.
Oh,
and you right. mentioned it in 9.5 hours.
Okay, that's what I think Michael was saying. I don't think that's a simple shot halakhically, but it could be that I'll pick Kabbalah. That might be the way it is. Okay, let's take a look. Now, the Tiashua Ba'alim, Imaprishnale, and the Pisham Aprishnale Avud. If the Ba'alim make Yeush, means if the lender, you know, the owner of the field, makes Yeush about ever getting the Truma. So in other words, he can't separate it from a later crop. In other words, he made Yeush ready. So the word is Peshita. It's obvious. So lo tzricha the akun. So it means now the case is like this. The crop grew a little bit, and it was a scrawny crop. And he says, you know, look at my shlamazel, like by the chisaron, you know, case. You know, I lost this money. I left the money. I said I would kill the truma. Now the whole crop is lost. So he says, this Mao the Tema Akanta Milti. I might have thought, look, this is someone of a crop here. And when he said, you know, about the Kisaron Kiss, he didn't really mean it. So he says, Kamash Malan. No. And once he makes Yeush, then that's it. Right. Once you make Yeush, it's gone. Okay. So that's exactly right. Now, 3 lines on the bottom. Okay. Tanya, Reblezer ben Yaakov there, Hamava Mara the Kohen, did a lady the Beitin. So this is the Braisa, but we have this in the Mishnah a little bit as well. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says, and we know that Mishnah Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Kavanah Ki, Chazal teach us that, you know, it's a very few in number, but always like clean, like very high quality. And I think they say that he had 102 rulings in the Mishnah Kufay, like Kav. So he says, but this is the Braisa. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says, Mamon a coin made a Levi Beitin. If I lend the money to the coin of Levi in the Bezdin, who made to Mafashalim Mechestakar Otoasheda. In other words, that we said that the debt is transferred to the whole Shevet Kuna, the whole Shevet Levia. So now I'm going to take the money out of, you know, my Truma or my Maaser Rishon. Or it says, Beha'ani Bebeitin. Or if he lends the money to an Ani in Bezdin, who mate, and then the Ani dies, Maprish Allah, Bechazkar Ani Yisrael. So he can be Maprish, like it's part of the like you know the whole group of aniyim. Rabbi Achai Omer Mechezkan Aniyah Olam. This is the Aniyah Olam. So one is saying Mechezkan Aniyah Israel, one is saying Mechezkan Aniyah Olam. So my Benai, what's the nachmir between those two between Aniyah Israel and Mechezkan Aniyah Olam? So again, we're talking about Master Ani. So I can't be non-Jews, so non-Jews have no chelik the Master Ani. So what does Aniyah Olam mean? That's what Rabbi Leibowitz was saying. So my Benai, who turned the page. So Ika Benayu Aniyah Kutiyim. So nachmir between two, let's say you have the Kutiyim. So this kufa we've discussed in the past, are the Kutim viewed as Jews or non-Jews? So the Tanakhama holds that they're not viewed as Jews. In other words, they're Geri Arayo. So it has to be Aniya Yisrael. He's going to collect it from them. He says, and Rabbi Achai says, but it's called Aniya Olam. It's Aniya Olam, even the Kutim. Yeah, let's look at the top Rashi on Laman Beis. Aniya Kutim, Shem Ein Aniya Yisrael Be'ir, if there are no Jewish poor people in the city, but there's some kutim in this poor. Mafrish the tzorcham, so I'll be mafrish, and then I have a mind to be mizak them, and then I'll keep it. He says, "Apim zochim b'hem kutim geri emenhein." Kutim are true converts. The Tanakama, geri arayot hein. Will yafrish b'shvilam el shvilani Yisrael yafrish b'kol makom shehem. So when Tanakama, the kutim are geri arayot, but I'll be mafrish not just for the known poor Jews in my town, but the person will be mafrish for the poor Jews in the world. Now Tosos doesn't like this. He's at the top Tosos. He says Omer lo takinu el b'cheskad ani ha'ir. He says the maser ani is just for the ani ha'ir. Lo kmo shpir kutrus panagiri arayim heim lo yafrish b'shvilam el shvilani Yisrael mafrish b'kol makom shehem dim kein lo nafkemi namidi my benayum. In other words. Well, so Rashi's saying that you could. That's what Rashi's saying. Rashi Tosos saying you can. In other words, the dinner maser ani. So Tosos, so according to Tosos, it works out maybe a little simpler. In other words, so you have, if you have a niyam here, you'll be mafrish, ani Israel, you'll be mafrish for them. Otherwise, if you don't, then you have a problem. The ani akutim, the other one said that's good. All right, now let's see back in the Gemara. On the top line on Laman of Days, Heshir Ha'ani in Mafrishalav, if the Ani now became wealthy, what? Right. Again. So, wait. So Truma is given to the Shevet Kuna, Maser Rishon to the Shevet Levi, but Maser Ani. The way Bali Tosfot learn, the people in the town, that's the Maser Ani. Like the way that's what they teach is like you should give the Maser Ani to the people local. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara. Now, I mean, priority wise. Now, but it sounds like from Tosfot, he's saying Maser Ani is dafka for the people in the town. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara. So on the top line on Laman and Beis. Okay, listen, I have to pick up the pace a little bit, so please excuse me. I'm going to stop all questions, okay? So, Heshir Ha'ani in Mafrishalav, if the Ani became wealthy, so then, in other words, I lent money to this guy who was a poor slob. And I lent him, $10,000. I said, okay, we'll work it out when I get the Maser Ani. And then lo and behold, he won the lotto. Now he's bloated. But now he's not entitled to Maser Ani anymore. And I'm not entitled to collect a debt from him because my deal was I'm going to get a Maser Ani. So I guess I'm not a happy camper at this point in time. So Heshir Ha'ani in Mafshlav. So he gets like a double lottery. He wins the lottery and then he also wins that's the end of his day. He says, Rabbanan, now the Gemara says, Maishna Lamita da Abatakanta. So the Gemara says, how come when the person died, so Chamin created a takana that I can collect from the whole shave it? In other words, so the takana was, one second. Right. So if I do it in Bezdin, then I'm a good shit. Is that what he's talking about? One sense. Let me just double check. One sense. To come from Afrish Lab Cheskan in Israel. Right. It says, so I could be, so let's back in the Gemara. My Lamita, so again, if the Ani dies, so I'll be Mafrish in the Master Ani and still collect the money. He says, that's Klekana. See, my Rabbanu, my Shalom Mitzvah Davar Takanta, my Shalom Ashir Davar Takanta. But if he becomes wealthy, they didn't make any takana for me. So, in other words, if he dies, I'm in good shape. but it becomes wealthy, you left me high and dry. So mita shchicha. The Gemara says mita is common. People die all the time, sadly enough. Ashir lo shchicha, but that an ani becomes wealthy, that's not so shchiach. So amra papa, hanu dami inchi, your papa says that's what people say, chavr chamit asher. If the person dies, believe it. You hear something, your friend died, believe it. It asher lo ta asher. But if you heard it became like a multimillionaire, don't believe it. In other words, you got to really, you know, verify this significantly. Now there's one question. Rabbi Leibowitz was quoting from Gerish Rachim. He was saying, is it really so rare that an ani becomes wealthy? So he was saying, like, for manos aniyim, so the level is 200 zuz. So let's say the person has 199 zuz, so he's still eligible for manos ani. He gets one more zuz, now he's not eligible anymore. Is it so rare that somebody with 199 zuz gets another zuz? Is that so rare? So then he was quoting, I think, was it Hanim Yafot or that was Gerish Rachim. Then he was saying that the Gemara means that that's a din drabanan about the 200 zuz. So with the 200 zuz, that wouldn't be so rare. But he was saying that it means though, like, to really become wealthy on a deraisa level. In other words, the Chachamim were creating like this year, you have 200 zuz, now you're wealthy. It doesn't mean you're wealthy, you're still poor with 200 zuz, but that you're not eligible for the Maserati anymore. But to really become wealthy, then that's what they're talking about here. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, we said, if the person dies, the debtor dies, the Kohen or Levi, so I have to get Rashut from the Yorshim. So he didn't do it in front of Beis Din. This is going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, if he died, so Meitu strictly told Rashut and a Yorshim. So I have to go to the Yorshim and say, is it okay for me now to take the Truma of the Maaser? I worked this out with your father. So he says, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Yorshin Shiyorshu. So the Braisa, we don't understand this, must be patient. Rebbe says, these are Yorshim that inherited something. So the Gemara says, Amiki Yorshin Dol Yarki. Is there something, have you heard of a Yorish that didn't inherit something? So it says, Elamar B'yochran, Shiyorshu Karka, Lo Shiyorshu Ksapin. So it means that they inherited real property, not money. And the halacha is that the children are obligated in the debt of their father for if they have real property, not if they just get kesef. So here, if there are yorshim, I have to get rishus from these yorshim to take list of the truma or the maaser rishon. I'm Rabbi Yonatan, hiniach lo machad. Let's say the father died and he only left the kids with like a little sliver of land, like a pen, a needle. Go over lo machad. Then let's say the sliver of land, I lent him $10,000. The sliver of land is worth $100. So I can only collect $100 from the Trumo or from the Maaser Rishon or whatever. That's all he did. Melo Kardom, but if he left them like a big piece of property, Kardom is like an axe, you know, but it means a large piece of property, go below Kardom, then I can take a lot. Yochanan Amar, I feel we need Melo Machad. Yochanan says, look, even if the father left the sliver of land, go below Kardom, you can eventually get it. In other words, Ukamas Tekhtina Dabaye, like an incident with Abaye with a sliver of land. So Rashi brings down Masech Ksubas, look at Rashi. Kiumas Tekhtina Dabaye, Bemishayana Sui Bechtubot. He says, Dahudahu Maskibe Mea Zuzay, there was somebody that he owed 100 Zuz, Beshachib, he died. Beshavi Katina Shavi Chamishim, he left a sliver of land worth 50 Zuz. Atabal Chov Tarfua. So the Baal Chov came, he seized the land. Atuyatni Habilei Chamshin, the Silku. Then the Yorshim came, they gave him 50. He says, okay, we want to land back. Here's 50 Litrot. Hadar Atatar Fokuli. Then he came back, seized the land again, and then they had to give another 50. So it means that so Rabbi Yochanan is saying, if the father left a small sliver of land, so you'd be entitled to collect and then do it again and again and again. So he's saying you can collect the money as long as left any amount of land. Okay? Now, okay, the two dots.
You said that the
father left
the land?
Right. That's the case in the Mishnah. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Yisrael Shamar Leleit. Now, we're going to have this Braisa. We don't understand the Braisa. Must be patient. We're going to go through different Shatim. Tan Rabbanan, Yisrael Shamar Leleit. Yisrael said to a Levi, Maser Yesh Lecha Biyadi. You have Maser. In other words, you have Maser in my possession. It was I have Maser Rishon to give to you. In Choshen L'Trumat Maser Shabo. I'm not concerned about it being Trumat Maaser, we'll see in a minute. Trumat Maaser means from Maaser Rishon, the lady has to give 10% to the Kohen. That's Trumat Maaser. So the owner of the land says to to a Levi, Masir Chabiyadi, you have Masir in my possession. I was I have your Masir. We'll explain the Gemara. He doesn't have to be Choshesh Betru with Masir. But here he just says, he doesn't say an amount. He just says, you have Masir. Kur Masir Yesh to Chabiyadi. Kur is 30 saw. He says, I got this humongous amount of the Masir Rishon for you. Choshen the true Masir Shabbat. So my Amr. So what does the Brisa mean? So Amr Abaye Hachi Kamar. Abaye says, this is what the Brisa means. Yisrael Shamar Levi, but Yisrael said to a Levi, Maser Yesh Lachav Yadi, Behelach Tamar. He says, you have Maser, and here's the value of the Maser. It's $1,000. Let's call it a day. I'll give you $1,000. So I'm buying the Maser Rishon from you. Now, according to most posts, the Maser Rishon, anybody can eat the Maser Rishon. It's just a gift for the Levi, but anybody can eat the Maser Rishon. So he's buying the Maser Rishon from him. Here's $1,000 for the Maser Rishon, and we'll call it a day. So we think that is, I don't have to be choshesh that this Levi designated that Maser Rishon as Truman Maiser. Now, as Machloket Rashi and Tosos, when he would do this, from Rashi it sounds like he would do it after he gets the money. Tosos says, how could he do it after he gets the money? But so Tosos says he designated it before he got the money. But what? No, not the land, the Tfuah. In other words, he's got Maser Rishon. But the thing is, it could be like Makir Kuna, Makir Levia. We said that then it's his, right? Then we said that. That's what we asked in the Amar Aleph. Right? He didn't do a kinyan. It's Makir, so it's that. So the Gemara says that the owner, the seller owner of the crop doesn't have to worry that this Levi designated what the Maser Rishon as true at Maser. Now, Amakom Acher means it's not just the 10%. In other words, he could have had other Maser Rishon from other donors. So let's say, he gets 1,000 bushels a wheat. And so now he has to give 100 bushels of wheat. So maybe there's 100 bushels of wheat in this field that Reuven has. So he could designate all of that as true at Maser. So he says, so the Tana Mishpi thinks says, you don't have to worry that he designated true at Maser. But Kur Maser Yesh Lo Tabiyadi, but Reuven will be the property owner. If Reuven says, I have a Kur, like a specific amount, which is a humongous amount, he said, I think it's 30 sa'a. He says, V'helech Damav, and here's the money for it, $10,000. Choshesh in Shema Aso Tru and Maser Makom Acher. So then I have to be Choshesh, that maybe he designated it as true as Maser, and now I'm in Gahak Kitzuris, because they got Trumi here, so only a Kohen can eat it, but it's worth a lot less money. Puts me in a difficult position. We think that's the pshat in the Braisa. So now the Gemara breaks. So we're putting in the Braisa. Now the Gemara breaks open. The Braisa says, "Atu Rishia Skinan Shakli Demei Mash Relay True and Meiser." Does it make sense if we were talking about Rishayim? Somebody would, designate this Tavua to be Truma, the whole thing, and then take the money. We don't think that makes the simple pshat. El Amar Masharshi Berid Ravidi Haki Kamar. So pshat number two: Yisrael Shamar LeBen Levi. But Yisrael said to a Ben Levi, means his father was the intended recipient of the Maser Rishon. Maser Lavicha B'yadi. Your father had Maser Rishon that's in my possession. It sounds like the father's not around anymore. Helech Damav. So he's not around. So I'm going to give you the money for it, and then the Maser Rishon will be mine. In Choshen Shemaso Aviv Trumas Maser Makom Acher. I don't have to be worried that the father made it Trumas Maser. So the only difference here is that the father's not around anymore. So he says, so the Gemara says, the Gemara assumes a Levi is like a chaver. Would he be torn, like the halacha, you have to be torn in a mukaf. Torn in a mukaf means that I should only take truma from something which is right next to it. In other words, I shouldn't be in Great Neck and say, this is, the Trumas Maaser that I have in Roslyn will be, with the crops in Roslyn will be Trumas Maaser for the Maaser I have here in Great Neck. I should have it right next to each other. So we don't think that somebody would do that. Okay, so shot number three. El Amar Abashi, come to the bottom. El Amar Abashi, Hachi Kamar. Ben Yisrael, Sha'amar Levim. If a Ben Yisrael, so now it's a Ben Yisrael going down a different generation, but from the farmer. Then he says, "Shamar Levi, Kach Amar Li Abba." He says, "This is what my father told me: Maser L'Chabiyadi, that you have my ser in my possession, I guess that he'd had it, oh maser lavicha biyadi, or your father had maser biyadi, choshen l'chut maser shabo. He says, we have to be choshesh that the shuvas maser. So, came and lo kitz, will have metakin le'ba'al abayit. That, in other words, his father has left him a situation. The father left him a crop. And the father said, you know, maser l'chabiyadi. My father told me that you have maser in my possession. So here, the first pshat is, I have to be choshesh maser shabo. Came and lo kitz, since it's not quantifiable, he just said, you have maser, and the father didn't quantify the amount. He says, in other words, my father said, you have maser in my possession. So the father didn't give me a quantity. So he says, came in little kids. Well, I'm talking about a bias. So it's unlikely that he was going to take Truma's maser. In other words, it takes Truma's maser, I have to know how much I have to, because it has to be 10%. So he didn't give me an amount. So it's not likely that my father took Truma's maser from it. He says, kur maser l'chabiyadi. But if he says, my father said there's a kur maser l'chabiyadi, oh, kur maser l'chabiyadi, ein choshen truma maser shpo, then I don't have to worry about truma maser. Came into kits, since it's a quantifiable amount, tikuni tikne balabayit. We assume that his father was metaking it. Now, the Gemara says, v'chiyesh lo reshut l'balabayit, v'chom truma maser. Does a balabas have reshut to take truma maser? In other words, he's the farmer, the father. Does he have authority to take Trumas Maaser? And it was Maaser, certainly he's got to take, but he's authority to separate Trumas Maaser and give it. He says, in, absolutely. Abba Lazar ben Gamla, because this price follows the Shita of Abba Lazar ben Gamla. The Tanya, Abba Lazar ben Gamla Omer, and Akshav Lachem Trumachem. This Pasuk in Korach, where at the end of the Parsha, Shem is speaking to Levium, this is Ben Akshav Lachem Trumachem, your Truma. So your Truma is, in other words, Shalom Truma, I mean, you Levim are going to take Truma. And your Truma will be Kadagan Menagorim and become Leim and Yaakov. It will just be like the other Truma. Kadagan Menagorim, like the grain from the threshing floor, and Leim and Yaakov, like the grapes from the wine, from the wine press. So in other words, your Truma will be just like the regular Truma. This is a top line on the mouth. The state truma that's with the bear. The pasuk speaks of two different types of truma. Chad truma gedola. One is truma gedola, which is the regular truma, but chad truma maaser. Shem shet truma gedola nitol ba'omid machshava. Just like regular truma could be taken ba'omid with like an estimate, or machshava, I just think, I don't say anything. I think that this section will be truma. Chad truma maaser nitol ba'omid machshava. That's not the part we need. Shem sheish lo reshut la balabai the truma gedola. Just like every balabas has authority to separate truma gedola. So too, he can take Truma's Maaser. So here too, it's saying in this case, so if the father left a message that it was a kur, then that's a quantifiable amount, then we think most likely he picks up everything before we die. But if he didn't have it as a quantifiable amount, then we don't know what's coming up with that. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we've did so far?
Good question. Do you have to make a bracha when you...
Wait, Yotef's asking, then I'll get to you. Wait, you. One second, go. It means that the Makire Tuna, or the Makire Levia. Yeah, that's the way people would do it. Okay. All right. What do you got, Pesach David?
You make a bracha when you give Truma or Maaser?
Yeah, you do make a bracha. When you're Mafrish the Truma or the Maaser, you make a bracha.
Not when you give it. Okay.
I don't think when you give it, you do it. Okay. All right. Everybody good? Okay. Let me start recording and then we'll talk. One second. One second. Let me get this first. What's the secret to this? Here, Yosef, help. Hey, how do I get the things? How come you're able to do it so easily?